This is a production of Cornell University.
I think.
Wait, never mind. Okay.
The meeting is readjourned.
Restarted. All right.
Yeah, restarted.
Previous question was called. There was a second. Is there any dissent? Dissent? Okay. Please, if you're in favor of calling the previous question, please raise your hand. Could you raise it like high off the table and don't put it down?
Oh, Kevin.
By a vote of 17 yeses to 3 noes, the previous question has been called. 30 seconds to Bridges for a final statement, then 30 seconds to SAC.
Information, we believe that SAC committed an error, and the fact that they did not recognize the official documentation that they've been digitally signed. We believe that nowadays, documents are generally accepted if they contain the verification information at the bottom, as a signature, as with an email. For the email attachment, this is documentation we submitted last year, accepted as official documentation, and we believe that it should be accepted as official documentation this year. We retain our packet information, our budget information all the time, and can see it. There's no reason why we should not be funded. Thank you.
SAFC, 30 seconds.
Sure. I just want to make it clear that when you receive these documents, it wasn't clear when it was from Microsoft Word or when it came from the organization. Again, when we denied the funding, this is not from your interpretation of the rule, but in fact, a rational look at what was stated in November. That being said, I believe the group did not work this in any way, and I encourage you to take that into account.
Okay, if you're voting yes, you're voting that the SAC did err. If you're voting no, you're voting that they did not err. Yes is yes and no is no. All right. Before we move on, are there any members of the community that wish to speak on this matter? Okay. Clerk, please call the roll.
Faber.
Yes.
Pass.
Dan.
Udish.
Yes.
Coon.
Pass.
Crockett.
Yes.
Vina.
Yes.
Duke.
Yes.
Earl.
Yes.
Hernandez.
Yes.
Gay.
Yes.
Goose.
Yes.
Greenberg.
Yes.
Carmen?
Yes.
Lavin? Yes. Nazarian?
Yes.
Raisin?
Yes.
Carfield?
Yes.
Santana? Yes. Self? Yes. Lakeland? Yes. Cruz. He said pass.
Yes.
All right. By vote, 19 yeses to 1 abstention. We voted the SAFC did air. Thank you.
That's an hour.
Okay.
Hey. Sorry, I can't. Is David Jacobus here or anyone from the student advocates from Palestine? No? Okay. Okay, so now we have Cola, please. Three of you.
If you guys wanted to bring one additional person, big record share up. If you really need, okay. Okay. 5 minutes.
Hi, I'm Alex Burke. I'm president of the Cornell Organization for Liberal Action.
Jordan, for you,
can you say your last name, Balto?
Jordan Wells.
To give you some background about our organization, where I directly am a local justice organization that does a lot of work on Cornell's campus in Hopkins County area, and also on the national and international level pertaining to labor. We're here because in the initial budget hearing, we were told that the percentage of undergrads in the organization wasn't going to expect. the final outcome of allocation. We wrote on our application that we were 59.7% in undergrad organizations. However, we denied funding on the basis that we did not have 60% undergrad. When we went to the initial hearing, we were told by a commissioner that this wasn't going to affect us at this case in this, at this particular time. So we failed to change that at that time when we could have fixed it because of what we were told. So we weren't allowed to make funds.
Okay, right. So after the initial hearing, when at the FASD, we came to the appeal hearing. The hearing we brought this as our new evidence, which is because it's part of the FASD project or process. During the appeal hearing, we bring in like new information, new evidence. So we brought in new subscribers to our listserv, who are people that are coming in and attending meetings. And so we have two people here that signed up between the time of when we submitted the budget and when we had our appeal. That's what us, even a part of one of those persons could have put us above 60%. And so if there's only 59.7% that does land, then either of these two people put us all above 60%. And so we lost that appeal. We went to the AFSCME appeal. The only other thing I would add is that, you know, in our opinion, first of all, the process itself is to judge whether you're a student undergraduate organization. And so COLA is one of the longest running funded undergraduate student organizations on campus. So if the FASB had any doubts, all they need to do is check our funding over the last 12 years and we're funded undergraduate student organization. Or just look at 59.7% and round it to 60%, or just say there's no such thing as a percentage of a person, and so any percentage of one person is making the whole person, and that's another way to get to the other percent. And I don't know, I guess it goes on and on. But do you get a chance to rebut after they talk, or is that it?
Someone can yield their time to you, which I'm sure someone will, and then you'll have the opportunity to speak.
There is a thing.
Okay, thank you. SAFC, 5 minutes.
I just wanted to say that we do have guidelines there that are for a purpose, and the purpose of the 60% rule is to ensure that the undergraduates who pay their money to students, so they see, do get funded, the money does go to undergraduate. As for the rounding, once you start rounding, where do you end? We prefer to be as objective as possible. We do that with all of our numbers, deadlines, anything. We won't round 4:05 to 4:00 to miss our deadline for turning in budget. We won't round your percentages up to give us the wrong number to the test. We firmly believe that we should reward the group who thinks properly and who thinks correctly, and that the president and treasurer are responsible for knowing the guidelines that we follow. And so we rule on this because we feel that undergraduate money should go to groups who have over 60% undergraduates instead of president and treasurer's name.
Okay, Vice President Boxer with AFSCME's decision.
Okay. The Appropriations Committee, a majority of the Appropriations Committee felt that the SAC did err. The vote was 8 yeses, 2 noes, and 2 abstentions. So the grounds for feeling that the SAC erred was essentially, I guess, if you're going to have decimal points, why not use them? If you don't want to have decimal points, then that's fine. But if you are going to have decimal points, then they need to serve a purpose. And I think that a lot of people really just felt like a decimal point that there was really no question that if you have 59.7 that if you are going to use your decimal points, if that rounds to 60%, that must be taken into account in considering an entire budget being zero funded based on 0.3%. Of course, I mean, certainly there were, again, 2 noes and 2 abstentions that felt strongly that they had hit it in a budget that clearly was under 60, that to them was clearly under 60. So the SAC had followed their guidelines. Another thing that was, I don't know what's circulating, but if it's this, which I have, it was COLA actually added, like, immediately after handing in their budget, The sheet I have is 10 people, I'm sure it's more since then, but they basically went on to some official Cornell website and got the official Cornell, whatever it is, that list who's on your listserv, which was 10 more people, which would have easily put them above 60%, and they brought that to their appeal. So, you know, at this point, they do have documentation that they are clearly above 60%, even if it wasn't there in the first place. But again, I think that the decision of AFSCOM, or at least the majority decision of AFSCOM, was really based on the fact that 59.7% was interpreted as 60%.
Representative Hartman.
I'm actually going to have to agree with the FASB here. We set standards as part of the student assembly we give to the FASB, and you said that 60% is the number we're going to have. And the FASB did not err here, and that's the judicial body on the FA, as we're looking at this, they have not made any error. The group turned in a budget on the deadline with less than 60% numbers. Then when they found out that they wouldn't receive funding because there was less than 60%, they added numbers. If we gave every group on campus that option, I'm sure if people submitted budgets of 53%, they could find 10 more members and they would get the funding. But if they can't submit a budget at the deadline of 60%, then I don't think they should receive funding.
Vice President Greenberg.
There's a Dunkin' Donuts in my hometown, and the price of a large cup of coffee with a little bit of skim milk and sugar comes up to about $1.98, and it's really frustrating because they have these two crisp $1 bills that you give to the cashier, all right? And every now and then, they don't have any pennies left in the drawer, all right? So they have to call the manager to come out with a fresh roll of pennies. And then the manager has to find the fresh roll of pennies, sitting there just fumbling with them, and it's taking all the time for these 2 extra cents. And as the good customer, you're just kind of like, forget about it, it's $2, I know what you mean. It's really not a big deal. This is the exact same thing, because for us to take 59.7% and say that that's not 60%, come on, 59.1 or 59.9 or 60, it's all the exact same thing, okay? Yes, we have standards for a reason, but 59.7, we don't know if other groups encountered the exact same thing and rounded up. I think most other groups, had they encountered the same thing, they would have rounded up. This group, following the guidelines, yes, was explicitly honest. Were they perhaps just a bit too explicitly honest? Yes, because there's no such thing as 0.7% of a person. In the future, will they round up? Absolutely. Should they have rounded up? Absolutely.
I have to make a clarification. The groups don't
what
round
is, no,
up.
What is, no.
Where
are they? No. Okay.
No, but that's important. That's a point of information.
Okay.
The essay, what Vince is saying is a point of information. What groups do when they're filling out their budget is that they put in the physical number of people and the computer does it for them. The computer fills out the percentages for them.
Okay. Representative Dina, okay? Vice President Coombs.
Okay, I want to figure out this percentage thing once and for all. So I guess based on what Sarah was saying, and I guess like the FASB or somebody can speak to this, people enter their membership into a computer, and the computer lets them know of the number. And then also, as a second question, is it regular practice for groups to leave it at the decimal place like that, or do they usually round up? Is there ever rounding done?
There's a field for undergraduates, graduate students, faculty, staff, and community members. And so the groups plug in how many PTL people have. The groups never put in a percentage point for a center. The groups never use a demo. The computer to calculate from the number that the groups put in.
Okay, and then the group is required and obligated to put that number that the computer gives them on the form. Okay.
The groups don't put that actual number. They just put in the number. And the computer, the one they submitted, they calculate it for them.
Okay. Thank you.
Also see that number is calculated.
Time's up. Representative Salem.
For future reference, can you just like distinguish so like the what is
sure.
I definitely agree with VP Boxer. We can't like not give these guys funding for like 0.3%. I mean, what do you want them like to hand in a finger or something? Doesn't make sense. I mean, and you know, I know how Vince said, you know, but I mean, we're not like machines, guys. You know, have a heart or whatever, you know. So, okay.
Vice President Smith.
Just a quick question. For this list of 10 that you gave us, are all of these undergraduates, or what's the breakdown on this?
Did everyone see that? Sorry, I also have a copy. Did you guys see that?
Please explain that. That list is from the lyrics, which is the news.
Yeah, they're next.
Okay.
Those are two students that came to me and asked to be added to the list.
Okay. Do all of these students come to your meetings?
So I don't know if you have the highlighted sheet, which is the one we have.
Yeah, I have the highlighted one.
There's only three people on there that are after the time that we put in our budget date.
Okay.
So like 18th of any one of those people would put us over 60%.
All right. Now let me ask you this: how many people come to your meetings? And you would classify as active members that reap the benefits of the money that we're going to give you?
Well, I would say there's about 15 or 20 active students, but then there's a wide membership of students that...
So 15 or 20, okay. What percentage of the 15 or 20 are undergraduate?
The last one, the 90%, in fact, out of the three people that have been added since the time that we put in our application, one of those is listed, the one that isn't highlighted, but that comes to the dates afterwards, she's a Cornell staff person, and she's probably going to be
So the active members at your club meetings that are receiving the SAFC money, more than 50% are undergraduates. Okay. So I once again make my point that the SAFC guidelines not clearly state that these 60% members have to be on a listserv or actually in the organization. I mean, it says they have to be in the organization, but are they coming for meetings? Or because how many people signed up in other organizations that we don't know about? And they just signed up for KICS. This group was honest, a little too honest, as Vice President Greenberg got at. But more than 60% of the people that are using this money are undergraduates. And the SAFC guidelines don't clearly state that. Is that my time up?
Sure. Representative Levin. Yeah, I got you already.
I like what Vice President Greenberg kind of did. He sort of made a mockery of the situation, which is how I feel as well. The difference between being subjective and having a commissioner takes 3 seconds while looking at this and saying, you can have some kind of page, probably you've got an arm on a person. And it's different. It's like, they're not putting the number, it gets put in the system, they're just putting it there. The undergraduate students, the graduate whatever, then that number goes, and I think the commissioner should analyze that after and then realize if it can be rounded or not. And the other thing, I lost the other one.
Representative Gay.
Just a couple of very quick points. I disagree with not the responsibility of the
I'll put you next. You want to
put you next.
Yeah, now you're next.
Because that's not correct. Also, you think that you realize 60% membership here is going to be undergraduate. You think that when you're actually putting numbers in, you realize that once you stop it, it's going to be undergraduate. Also, that doesn't fall with the shoulders. The second thing is, once again, you guys have opened the door to subjectivity by saying, I know it's only 100%, or you know what, there's not a big genre, but unless Brian has said, if you want to look it up in the judicial body and look at the issues and material facts and all these cases, it is your responsibility and you have the option of interpreting it very rigidly. Unless you have, once again, the question is still, if you guys open it, like, what's saying, turn over the doesn't matter, oh, you know what, this signature, you can interpret that, oh, yes, that's okay. So in any of these fields, I would certainly support all of my fields, all of my fields. There is some relevant information that we would not otherwise support from the information. Okay.
Vice President Boxer.
I just wanted to say two things really quickly. First of all, I would appreciate just like a level of decorum here. Even if you fully support COLA in this, we are talking about a group whose entire budget was zero funded, which is, no matter how you're voting, a very serious issue. So appreciate, all of the, anecdotes or whatever, but I would also just call for a level of decorum in how you're approaching either side of this debate. Also, I want to just clarify one thing. that was mentioned in the Appropriations Committee meeting by the group's treasurer, which I don't think I really heard here today, which is that she said that when she was entering in those numbers, she actually just assumed that it would be rounded up in the computer because, again, like, this was all done by computer, and she just assumed that when she hit submit that basically, like, everything would just be rounded up. Again, because if you are going to have decimal points, which, I again, was brought up in the Appropriations Committee meeting, that they would be used for something. So, you know, I do just want to clarify that because I thought that was actually something that resonated with the Appropriations Committee that I'm not sure if COLA brought up today. So just that, and again, just please, you know, bear in mind that we are talking about an entire budget for a group, so let's just be professional about this.
Representative Roizen.
So when you said information before, even if they were below 60% by the time the budget is due, if before you were granted funding,
well, we define your information as information you could not possibly have had prior to the April budget meeting, and if you think of people, when we're people who've had the meeting and they just requested to be unlisted, then we don't find that that's the information that could not possibly have been available.
Why? Two more people signed up after
but he said they weren't new people. He said that people in the group would have asked to join the lister.
They were two freshmen who came to meetings starting in, like, I guess the end of January, beginning of February, but the budget was due the very beginning of February, so people come to meetings starting in the beginning of February. They are members of the group now, but they may not have been at the previous two meetings where the budget was due.
So I guess in regards to the assembly, I have to agree with the FASC that 50% is not 60, and that when they put in their budget, they should have realized it would be 9.7 and 60, and a percentage of the person doesn't make sense, so they shouldn't have turned in that number. I don't think it's the responsibility of FASC. However, I do think the two members on the sheet that they passed around does constitute the new information and clearly puts them over 60% at the time of the appeal, so I think that's what we should be thinking about.
Actually, the time has expired for debate, but I'm going to allow it to continue until somebody calls the question. Representative Budish.
I'm definitely just going to point out that you were pointing out the...
Representative Duke.
Yeah, I just want to get a question. You had mentioned something in your opening statement that hasn't been brought up, but did you not say that you would ask someone if the 59.7% would be a problem, and you were told that it wouldn't be a problem?
At the initial budget hearing, where it was my understanding that you go and you go through your budget package with the commissioner to work out problems that you might have that affect you at the time or when your budget goes through your allocation, you were explicitly told by a commissioner that even though that number was below what would be required for us to receive money, to be funding, that it wasn't going to affect us in this particular instance, and that in the future, we should just make sure we're above the 60% mark. So at the time, we were given the opportunity to remedy the problem. We were unable to because we didn't even know that it would be a problem.
Okay, I think that speaks volumes also, is the fact that a commissioner told them that it wouldn't be a problem, that they didn't have to do anything to fix it, and that they would be fine. I think that's also huge in this case, something that we experienced far too much last semester, and this would certainly be yet another reason why we could fund it.
Representative Self.
Well, you know, I think the good thing about these appeals is that, you know, rather than making a group put all this effort to have it granted or denied by us, is they do point out problems with SASB policy or mechanisms in the application process that we can hopefully correct in future semesters. And that mechanism is this simple little, you know, math. You know that certain numbers of small group of people and percentages and pointless percentages of people. So I hope that after, I am going to vote to get this group funding, and I hope that after this semester, something that is so close, it's 59.7%, that we can establish either a policy so that the mathematical software rounds up to whole numbers, or so that when they can establish standards said that when a group is, you know, just using basic rounding principles, when a group is 59.5 or higher, the FASC will assume only that number of 59.5 or higher, is right at about 50%, and that will round up to 60%. So I think that is the policy.
Alderman Sherrin, as Garrett.
Okay, first, I would like to thank the coaches at SAFC for coming because you guys do spend a lot of time allocating on your budgets, and I really feel like a lot of people are knocking you guys. And I mean, for this one and other ones, it's really not their fault. I mean, they chose their upcoming goals that we've put in place. It's our committee, the Student Assembly Finance Commission. So thank you first for that. But keeping that they are our committee in mind, we can overturn what our committees say. What I was going to say before, whatever that first group was, I don't remember, the
Anthropological
Society. This came up spring 2006 last year before the Student Assembly Club. There was a group called the Aikido Club. They were, I think, 52 or 53%. They were below. They were in a unique situation because during the appeal, it was caught that they were under 60%. But irregardless of that, they presented information that said by the time they came into the Student Assembly, they had more than 50% undergraduate. And so the Student Assembly, which minutes that I have in front of me, despite the dissension, there were no votes. Everyone voted yes to fund the group and go ahead and fund the group. My opinion here is that while Remy and Adam have said 59.7 is not 60, the reason we put that rule into place is to make sure that the money that leaves violence into SAFC is going primarily to undergraduates. It's now clear that that money is going primarily to undergraduates. Even though that count as new information for our guidelines, it's clear that the money is going to undergraduates is higher than 60% based on past precedent and the fact that the intention of the rule is now being met. I would ask all of you to vote in favor of the fund.
The chairman, Little.
I'd like to say something about the notion of a percentage of a person or tiny part of a person. We're talking about the percentage of the entire undergraduate membership. We're not talking about arms and legs. We're talking about people within the entire membership. For some groups, one person could be 0.3%. It doesn't come down to the individual person. And also, as you mentioned earlier, your Dunkin' Donuts and your rounding, when do you stop rounding? Is $1.75 $2? Is $1.50 rounded $2? We strive to not get subjected like that and to stick to our standards because we don't want to treat groups unfairly. So we figure if we stick to our standards, everyone knows the standards they can do, and everyone knows that the 67 on a number line is less than 6, 61 is greater than 6. And so that is how we're asking to report to our
members. Liaison Early.
Voted against this in the commission
Second. Spend dissent. If you're in favor of calling the previous question, please raise your hand high.
Yes.
Okay, but how many no's? Kind of like 18. Yeah. Okay, by a vote of 18 yeses to...
Whatever.
Okay, by a count of 15 yeses to however many no's are left. The previous question has been called. 30 seconds to COLA, 30 seconds to SAFC. COLA.
Seconds.
let me just first say that it is not our parents that is why we made a ruling. The SA cost us with approximately $1 million per semester. This is a lot of money, and we must uphold our PhD member rules when we make their decisions. Do I personally think this group should receive funding? I can't say that, but I think you have heard enough of the case.
Are there any members of the audience that wish to speak on this matter? Please raise your hands. Okay, approach the microphone, state your name and year, 30 seconds.
Oh, yeah, right.
Clerk, please call the roll. Oh, I'm sorry. AFSCOM voted that the SAC did err, so yes is yes and no is no.
Faber?
Yes.
Faster?
James?
Budish?
Yes.
Coon?
Yes.
Crockett?
Yes.
Dina?
Duke? Yes.
Ehrlich? Fernandez?
Yes.
Jay?
Yes.
Goose? Greenberg?
Yes.
Hartman?
No.
Lavin?
Yes.
Leonard,
Sargent? Yes. Royden? A-Town? No. R-Town? Yes. Santana?
Yes.
South? Yes.
Flicklin?
Yes.
By a vote of 15 yeses to 2 noes to 4 abstentions, the SAFC did err. Thank you.
Okay, next we have Arpion Cornell. You guys can come up.
What? What about it?
If you're stating 50% as a bio major, the significant figure is 2 and there's no decimal point there. So by all mathematical principles, it would have to be not enough to be bio higher. If you want to not have students.
Wait, what?
Thank you. We don't, unfortunately, we don't have any more of those coming up.
We have to move on. I'm sorry. Okay. We understand what you're saying, but we have to move on. Okay. Arts Beyond Cornell. 5 minutes.
Say your names and years for the record, and then let us know what you do.
It is.
Speak up a little bit, please. Speak up, please.
Oh, okay. We have the original book, which is the biases, and we have copies of that for everyone. Also, going around with the pictures of some of what we do, and our collaboration with Cornell Daily Sun, and the original price quote and receipts of the materials we have before.
Hi, we are Art Dealer Cornell. We go and teach our lessons. We're all volunteers, most of us are art majors. Our lessons at a juvenile detention center in Winston. We go twice a week and we give the girls a lesson plan. We spend about an hour with them, hanging out with them, talk with them. We are their connection to the outside world, and we also are their only way of self-expression. They get very bored in the afternoons. They have regular school during the day in the afternoons. They do absolutely nothing. They extremely bored and therefore look forward to our meetings with them. And they don't have art lessons because they get cut from school to budget. So we are their connection to art and to self-expression. We think that what we do is very important, and we've gotten tons of positive feedback from the girls and from the faculty and the faculty. The girls behave better when we are there. And we've been doing this for 2 years now. So the fun we're asking for for is for the art class to see you conduct our lessons. They were rejected on the grounds that they are disposable goods and not durable. We're appealing on the basis of discrimination. We think there's a fundamental misunderstanding of the role of art in our class and society. We view sex lives as durable and as permanent and as lasting. They are not used and discarded as occupied art, which is the example in the handbook. They say we're not selling non-durable goods such as occupied, which are clerical, used and discarded. And these occupied, they're used to make something larger, something that's permanent, and something that we hold on to and we value and we show. We have an art show which there are some photos of. And which has really lasting effects on the girls as well. And I think of it as the prisoners who kind of live there and really discussion. But also, we went to help session before we did the packet, and basically our case was kind of exceptional. People had trouble advising us when they did the best they can, which we appreciate, but they advised us to apply for supplies in the specific category, and they thought it would be okay. So I guess what we're saying is, when we go through the categories, we go through situations, fine arts really kind of especially, and it doesn't really fit into many of the categories. We're not asking you to revise the SAC handbook, we're just asking that you revise the conception of durable goods, because this is the only feasible category we could have applied for, and to us, and in reality, our supplies are not. Yeah, I'd just like to reiterate how important our group is to the girls that live in the Adventure Center. The positive feedback we get from them is proof of that. And the art supplies, the funding for the art supplies that we're asking for, they're not a piece of our group, they're the way that we will be able to function. So they're completely necessary for what we do.
Okay, SAFC, 5 minutes.
Just for some reference, let me just direct you guys to our little hand packet here. Under our downturn up, at the bottom of the page, it has our definition for durable goods. Durable goods are typically used to be over a period of years able to exist without significant deterioration. When we were doing our decision, we made it in accordance with the TNT handbook. That being said, art beyond Cornell is, in my mind, the perfect example of an appeal. Because in our TNT handbook, we don't really address like art beyond Cornell and their art suppliers. And as a result of this appeal, Sam and I will be looking into changing the TNT handbook so that it does include groups like art beyond Cornell in the future. So I encourage you that this is a group that absolutely deserves funding, but again, by the TNT handbook, which we're bound by, we had to allocate for this session.
Every year we have cases like this where we find something that was gray area previously, but we can now make room for them in the TNT handbook. So we will seek to sort of codify fine arts in the TNT handbook. We can't give it away, but then we will securely and definitely
have to do it. Vice President Boxer with AFSCOM's decision.
Okay, so AFSCOM voted again almost unanimously that the SAC had aired. There were 11 yeses, 0 noes, and 1 abstention. I'm not gonna drag this on forever. I think that an issue that was raised was whether or not, as Luke and Sam have said, this is something that they'll look into in the future, and that the reason why they weren't able to fund it in the TNT handbook as it is right now was because there are explicit things in the handbook that say that they shouldn't. But actually, the Appropriations Committee felt that even under the current guidelines, this group did qualify for SAC funding. Basically, there were a couple of things that were raised in the AFSCOM meeting, because I'm not sure I heard now. One of them, certainly that AFSCOM deliberated over, was the issue of, and Vice President Greenberg brought this up in our meeting, was that these supplies are actually technically tools for them. They're using them to create something else. The same way that you do for tools. And as a side of the token, all of these lovely fine arts majors have done an excellent job of making sure to research these things so that they do last for years. These are not like crayons that you throw out afterwards. They use these are whatever tools, again, that they are using for a number of years. And another thing that they mentioned in the meeting was that they keep these things forever. They don't throw anything out. Even if they're making like an origami bird or something, they're going to use that in an art supply show 2 years down the road. They're not throwing these things out. So basically, that was the gist of why I asked Humboldt the way that it did. I appreciate that Sam and Luke are going to be taking a really good look at codifying this within the rules for the future, so that we don't have to deal with these groups appealing based on discrimination like this. But again, I do want to clarify that the Appropriations Committee felt like they weren't really bending the rules by saying that this group should be funded now. They felt like that ABC was in accordance with the current P&D handbook. Regardless of the fact that it's
a little bit dirty. Okay, first we have Representative Stuff. Yeah, I mean, the one thing that feels like remains important is, if you look at this picture, on the back of this wall here, it's literally covered in art. And, I mean, they don't throw anything away. So they did, it was kept for, representing they kept for 2 years. So it's not like my group makes a post for a bake sale, throws it out, the market paper and all this stuff is gone. They preserve this stuff and allow these young women to make art. So I strongly support them and call the question.
I'm sorry, did you make a motion?
Call the question.
Okay. There's been a second. Is there any dissent? All right, 30 seconds to Art Beyond Cornell and 30 seconds to SAFC.
Okay.
Are there any community members that wish to speak on this matter? Okay. Clerk, please call the roll.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah. Since
Abscom voted. So Abscom voted. So it's yes is yes and no is no.
Yes.
Boston.
Same.
Buddhist.
Yes.
A strong, humbled, and inspired yes.
Can you hold on? Can you please start over? I didn't hear several of those. Can you tell me who voted and how, and then continue?
Basil.
Yes.
Boxer.
Same.
Buddhist.
Yes.
Coon.
Yes.
Crockett.
Yes.
Dina.
Yes.
Duke.
Yes.
Fernandez.
Yes.
Gay.
Yes.
Youth.
Yes.
Greenberg.
Yes.
Hartman.
Yes.
Lavin. Nazarian.
Yes.
Royden.
Yes.
Asam.
Yes.
Arcana.
Yes.
Santana.
Yes.
Stubbs.
Yes.
Whitman.
Yes.
Okay, by a vote of 18 yeses to 2 abstentions, the SAC did air. Thank you.
Can we ask you guys to do the best of papers? We have 2 more handouts.
Yeah, can I just say something quickly about this one also?
One of them will be labeled Puerto Rican Student Association, and one will be
Guys, assembly members, I wanted to say that I know that this is to you debate. You guys can come forward. This is our last appeal, and I know that everyone's kind of like getting a little bit restless. But this is critically important that everyone pays very, very close attention to everything that they hear from both sides. And so I just wanted to. I know that it's the end of our meeting, but I really wanted to reiterate how important it is that you're not sort of like fumbling around and talking to each other. Please pay attention.
Did you all say Puerto Rican Students Association? Because that's not on the agenda.
No. They're just, this is like further evidence.
Oh, okay. Okay. I'll wait until... just give me a moment. Debate, 5 minutes.
Okay, thank you very much.
president of the Association. I'm Jackson Taylor, former president.
And we're going to be expecting that we are actually deserving of the funding. So this all started a couple of days after we submitted our budget to the SAFC when I received an email stating that our budget allocation would be $0. This was pretty dismaying news. Firstly, because without an SAFC budget allocation, this team will cease to exist for this semester and will operate in a fairly crippled manner for at least a year to come. But secondly, this is dismaying because we're pretty sure we had in fact submitted our online budget application. Jackson filled out an online budget application prior to the due date and submitted it on time. He took screenshots along the way and saved HTML copies to his hard drive in the event that something unexpected happened. But because he saw the confirmation screen after clicking submit, he didn't think about it again until we were denied our application. The FAFC said they never received our online application, and we take them at their word. We're not particularly tech-savvy people. We don't know what went wrong. But I think all of us have had a computer glitches in the course of our lives before, frustrated in some way or another. The only explanation we can come up with is that something like that happened, either on the end of the SAFC's servers or something like with Jack's internet connection, but not doing something with people we can't really advance anything more than that sort of technical hypothesis. We had Jackson's screenshots, we had his saved copies, and moreover, we had the printed copy of the online application that we had submitted with the rest of our budget. So we saw it from SAFC. The SAFC agreed to give us the appeal, but refused to give it to us on any date other than the morning of a Saturday, which we had previously scheduled weeks in advance for the entire senior leadership of our team to be competing at the State Board of Agents. As a result, for our SAFC experience, we were only able to send inexperienced team members who have no prior experience with the budgetary process. We felt this was discriminatory. We continue to deal with this as actually the textbook definition of disparate impact discrimination, which makes up the majority of discrimination in American workplace law. We don't think that they intended to discriminate in a meaningful way. But we think that by only allowing appeals to go on Saturday mornings, they effectively discriminated against the organizations that, by nature of what they do, send their team members out of town to compete with doing defense. So we would like to extend our appreciation to that and hear our people on the ground of discrimination. And during our interview, what we wanted to introduce was the printout of the copy of the budget application that Jackson saved on his computer, because we think that this actually establishes that we did in fact submit the budget application and that there's a computer at which cost the FAFC, not just you. We think that if you believe we acted in good faith, then you have to believe that we are deserving of funding as we have been in every 21 past semesters we've applied for, because we did not get it. At our SA appropriations therefore, the FAFC's primary rationale for not funding us was their belief that I guess we have forged or somehow falsified these documents to cover up the fact that we never submitted an online application. And at the hearing, they gave two explicit reasons for doubting the authenticity of these forms. The first is the file on the bottom of the hard copy of the application that Jackson printed out and submitted. But before they raised this objection, we had already given an explanation at our appropriation committee hearing as to why file had to be there. Jackson filled out the application at home. Jackson doesn't own the printer. He took screenshots of the application and printed it out at like Eurus or Olin Library from files he downloaded after emailing them to himself, which is why file had to a hard drive rather than a website that appears at the bottom of his hard drive. The second objection today was that we didn't print actual confirmations. But frankly, it just didn't occur to us. We didn't seriously anticipate that we would have problems of this nature. We've never had them in the past. And after seeing the confirmation screen, I think it's reasonable, I don't think it's reasonable to expect us to believe that there are going to be problems coming. Moreover, I would say that these objections, if anything, sort of prove the veracity of our case, that we hadn't forged anything. Because if you really did intend to run, forge, or falsify documents by you guys, why on earth would we stop short of forging or falsifying the most convincing documents possible? If we are, paying enough computer hackers to falsify an entire FAFC application, why would we stop short of falsifying, the most persuasive part, the confirmation screen? Why would we make the really elementary error of leaving this file path on the bottom when we can simply write it up in Microsoft Paint? I don't know my way around that HTML code, but I know how to use the erase button in Microsoft Paint. I don't think it's reasonable to say that we have falsified the application for these reasons. For you to believe that we have in fact forged this document, I think you have to believe some pretty strange things about this first. You have to
other week that were meticulous and orderly to every semester submit one of the SAIC's best documented books. This semester, I believe there were 90-plus pages supporting documentation and letters from the presidents of over a dozen other major university papers. But at the same time, you have to believe that we're incompetent enough to totally forget about the first, easiest, and most important step in the budgetary process, which is submitting the online application. The idea that it would take, like, 2 to 3 days of our time to collect all the dozens of pages of documentation that we submitted, but at the same time, be, like, big enough clues to just forget the first step in this process, is, I think, a little unreasonable.
I don't think so.
You also have to believe that we're cunning and deceitful enough to submit falsified documents to first the SASC and then the SA, but also naive and heartless enough to make the obvious errors that I've already talked about.
That's
if
not
motion. SASC. There's been a motion to extend the speaker's time.
One minute.
In a second.
1 minute.
Okay.
No, 30 seconds. We don't
have I appreciate it, and we really don't have too much to say. We believe that we have acted in good faith throughout this entire process. We have done everything that we that could reasonably be expected of us to justify our budget allocation, and we don't feel that there's persuasive evidence that we have actually falsified or forged anything. So we really do feel that we're deserving of similar consideration for a budget that we received in prior semesters. Thank you.
SFC, 5 minutes.
Okay, I'd like to begin by noting that there are several peculiarities regarding this case. First, over 350 groups did click submit and their budget did make it to us online. This group, their budget did not. Second, as I pointed out earlier, if you look at the debate budget, I couldn't access next to the file tab from the bottom. It comes from a local hard drive. Every single other budget, as you'll notice before we even budget as an example, comes from a website, the Assembly's website. Next, if you flip the debate budget to page 6 and 7, you will all notice that these two gentlemen are Nicholas Elise, signed it as president, and the treasurer, Eric, signed it as treasurer. You'll notice that their advisor did not sign the budget, which is curious also. If you flip the page 7, you'll notice they passed a letter from their advisor. It was actually in the fall. They never had their advisor look at this budget. They never had him sign this budget. Furthermore, if you flip the page again, I'd like to read off one of the policies under the ethical student statement on ethical conduct for SAIC student organization. Under the policies and procedures, no unethical practice will be condoned on the grounds that it is customary or that it serves worthy or honorable goals, including intentional acts of misrepresentation, dishonesty, trickery, or deceit designed to obtain and or use student activity fee or university funds. I'd like you to keep that in mind as you turn back to page 5. If you look next to the asterisk, you'll see copying slash membership recruitment, posters at $0.026. That is last year's rate. There is no way in the world they used this budget that would have been on there. They clearly saved last year's budget, forgot to submit their budget, and turned in a false budget that is not this year's budget. They lied outright to the FASC's wife, to the Appropriations Committee, and now you guys. The funding for this matter is only the tip of the iceberg. And we would like to carry this process on as far as it needs to be, because there's no place in this university for dishonesty, for lying, for deceit, for trickery, for whatever you want to call it. Thank you.
No. Now we have the Appropriations Committee's decision.
Okay. This was obviously a very, very split case. The majority of the Appropriations Committee voted that the SAC did not err in this case. But the vote was extremely split. It was 4 yeses for the Appropriations Committee. I mean, 4 yeses that the SAC did err, 5 noes that the SAC did not err, and 2 abstentions. So when you're voting today, ultimately, it will take 2/3 to, if you're voting for debate, it will take 2/3 of you to overturn the decision of the outcome. But, okay, it's very clear what the two sides were. The way that it was presented to the Appropriations Committee, and anyone on the Appropriations Committee can probably speak to this, was that it seemed like a very he said, she said case. Basically, to make it as clear as possible and to water this down as much as possible. Debate claims that they hit submit and that they thought that they submitted their online budget, no problem. They got no indication that they hadn't, and they didn't email the FAC or anything like that with any issues because they didn't think that they had anything, just click submit and assume that it had submitted. The FASC claims that they did receive, you know, like almost 400 budgets this semester online, no problem. No one emailed them saying that there were any problems. No one had any discrepancies about a missing online budget. So it did seem very questionable to the Appropriations Committee as to why this budget was missing. I guess just, you know, the way that Sam delineated in terms of prior budgets and stuff like that was not really made clear. I don't think in the Appropriations Committee, which is again probably a testament to why it was so split. But again, at the end of the day, the majority of AFCOM voted that the FASC did not err in this case. If anyone has any, I know that was kind of confusing, but if anyone has questions for me about the app, like, I mean, there are sort of a lot of different phases about this along the way, so I would encourage if anyone has any questions about AFCOM or that process and that meeting or what was raised there, you can certainly direct those to me.
R. Salem.
This question goes to the state club. I mean, I filled out like many forms online and stuff, right? And always on the confirmation page, they would say like, you know, print this page for your record. And I'm wondering like, why you took like screenshots and threw all this stuff. Why did you like forget to print out the confirmation page? And also, I'll yield the rest of my time to you guys to defend yourselves again. Like,
since Jack
is
okay, with respect to the first question, I first suspect at the end of the day we may be a pariah for what will be hopefully an improved SASC policy, but the confirmation page, to the best of my knowledge, didn't explicitly state, you know, please print this page to your records, and we never obviously anticipated this to be a problem. In addition, the SASC doesn't, you know, send confirmation emails that they ever see the online portion of your budget application. And I sincerely hope, irrespective of how you vote, that in future semesters, the SASC will provide such like email confirmation because, you know, it really sort of symbols organizations like us with these sorts of computers.
How much time do I have to respond to the new report?
About 45 seconds.
Okay, so you can get my sense that I'm appalled at the bad case in which the SASC has approached this hearing. The new argument that they raised were not brought up in our original appeal. Since the original appeal, I've sent 6 emails to Luke Chernofsky asking if they had other reasons than the ones they stated for doubting the authenticity of these documents. I printed out these emails because he is in none of them did he actually answer my original question. This morning in desperation, I went down to the SASC offices and asked, I'm sorry, but I don't remember your name. I asked if there were any other reasons you had for doubting the authenticity of our documents, but you preferred not to tell me and explain them on us as the prize evidence here at our hearing. I don't think this is fair to us, but that said, I'm still going to respond to all the new points that you've raised. You talk about the bug. We've already addressed the issue.
Motion to extend the time.
Second.
1 minute.
You talk about the bug. We've already explained why this is an issue. Jackson doesn't own the senator. He took screenshots. He had to send it out on live Twitter. I find it really odd that you're still like, insistent. Unless you're right that we used an old version of our cover letter from Sherry Martin, our academic advisor. We did this because of scheduling conflicts, because she is a pretty busy person. We were unable to schedule time with her to write a new letter. But there is an email sitting in Jackson's inbox right now for Sherry Martin. You have to run down and print it out if you want, saying that she's looked over a budget application. Like, there's a computer in the reading room. If you really want, you can print that out. As a rep of the chalk, I've never heard of this before, and I think this is why it's a good idea to make accusations to people before they show up, like, in these kind of hearings. I don't really know what to say to this because like a 0.026% difference is not something I've ever considered before.
In our past appeals, like the SASC basically said, we don't believe that they said any more. So I mean, their story has turned 180 degrees from, you know, they're not
Vice President Greenberg.
Yeah, one question for each of you. For the group, why is there a different rate for the post percent? Why isn't it consistent?
We don't know.
Then follow-up question for the SAFC. Did anything change over the course of when groups were filling out their online portions of the budget request? Did the rate change at any point?
We're going to have Ari, who's our office and technical person, answer this question.
Okay.
Yeah, I have to speak on this one because the basically what had happened originally is that we told the SAFC that we were sure, not that we doubt that we were sure that no online budget had been submitted. So that was based on technical reasons. Okay. So can you repeat the question?
My question was just you know, is there any possible way that the poster rate could have changed over the course of the time period that groups were allowed to submit their budget requests? No.
No.
Okay.
It is possible that they could have manually gone into the HTML document and changed it back to less than the rate, but
right. Okay. I did have one other follow-up question for this. Actually, no. I'll yield my time to the group if they want to keep defending their points.
Well, I'm not really sure why we would manually, if I'm understanding this right, I'm not sure why we would manually put in HTML and change it to make our documentation look less authentic. But, like, not having heard this charge before 5 seconds ago, I can't give the most reasoned explanation, but perhaps, what strikes me right now is the most feasible thing, is that perhaps Jackson was, when filling out the application to turn in, actually filling out, like, last year's, if it was
at
last year's rate, and submitted like a copy of last year's.
Yeah, why do we have the Puerto Rican Association budget?
It's the comparison. Hold on. Is there a motion to extend Vice President Greenberg's time? One more minute.
If two of you were in our position, okay, and you see an inconsistent budget, the one inconsistent budget of the 350 that had properly been submitted online with the proper documentation that did not have any sort of, you know, arbitrary number put in for the rate of the poster, how much it costs, what would you be thinking if we were in our position?
I understand your skepticism, and I really wish we had been made aware of these things beforehand so we could have tried to figure out what was going on. Like I said a second ago, I suspect that perhaps Jackson filled out an old copy, like, it's not recycled an old copy, but filled out an old form and tried to submit that.
And where would he have gotten this old form from?
One person speaks at a time. All right. Representative Duke.
Well, first of all, I'm entirely different.
My phone's going to die.
I never put that. So, like, I have no problems with that. I do, like, have a couple of issues with the fact that the number is completely different. I think that's the part that's killing you, but otherwise I would say, you know, I believe that you submitted it. I really do have, like, full faith in that. I do think it's really unfair that you guys were made aware of this ahead of time, that you did spend 16 mils and that you heard nothing back. I would like to ask the SAFC co-chairs if they would like to respond to that, because I think the fact that they came to you and asked you this question, you never respond, it's just, I mean, like, unprofessional business practice in addition to just being rude. So that would be my question to you.
Points of information. This was, I think, in the past 2 or 3 days they were asking. Just so you know, it wasn't like it was over a course of 2 weeks. And I think that they were trying to figure out exactly what the problem was themselves. But go ahead, Nick.
Yes, I think both of those numbers kind of been an hour or two. I mean, I do my best to respond to all of them. These 60 numbers, either the past 2 days, that did make my attempt to respond. I just wanted to prove that, you know, stop multiple sessions.
Okay. Yeah, I
still
like
that if you would have liked to hear. So what you didn't hear right there, but what you will see in the email that I sent around is that in every single email, not just like the last few that I did send in previous sessions because I was getting desperate and looking for an answer, but in the one that I sent on Tuesday, I asked the same question. Do you have other reasons for doubting the authenticity of our documents? I asked it in every single email, it was never responded to.
Can I also have a point of information? I think it's really unfair that they weren't made aware of this ahead of time, and that there is such a change here that is so different between the two budgets.
So, I mean,
The time's up, and that's not a point of information, so I'm going to have to move on. Representative Hartman.
I have a question to the SAOC office. Do you keep the budget from last year? Yes, we do have do you have, would you be able to ascertain the exact budget they turned in last year?
Well, yes, last semester. This copy rate changed between last semester and this semester.
Would you be able to ascertain the exact budget they turned in last semester?
Yeah. Yes.
Did last semester budget match this semester's budget exactly?
So there are dates and stuff on this one.
It's important to note that there are two.
Okay, dates. Okay.
Can I?
Yeah.
Okay. The HTML form like this, if you open it in the web browser, you could change all of the values in one field and print it out like that. But it would be much more technical to go in and change the copy, really, not to mention it would be.
Okay.
Not flashing.
Okay, so when you said, like, the screen print means it just creates an HTML file that you can put in new inserts in, and it's not like screen printing the actual document that it is.
You can actually save the form that comes out of the web page and save it on your desktop as an HTML file, and then just email it to yourself.
Okay.
So alone, the file name and the date certainly are not suspect, and it would be perfectly reasonable to assume that organizations submitted it online and then saved it, emailed it to themselves, and printed it up after the online deadline.
And I have one more question. Would it be possible for any organization to be able to get this in the website, the copy rate in the current, like the current one changed? Would it be possible, except for saving in some way like that, for them to have a form like this?
No, budgets are not available online now.
Okay.
Or anything like that. That was the question.
Was that your question?
Yeah, that was
okay. Representative Gay.
Thanks, I would like to strongly recommend that you keep your remarks relevant to the situation at hand. I think it's absolutely absurd to grant that and trying to say that these guys, this doesn't belong to Cornell, this is something larger than this. And also, I would question the professionalism of Ahmed Dale and Ford Clapper and an accusation of a significant code of conduct violation that is clearly under statute. But that's drawn by the judicial body. We're not here making a judgment on that. We're making a judgment on this, on the relevance to the FAC, but nothing more than that. I think it's absurd to bring up these accusations that affect them like that. So I just recommend you keep your remarks for this. And so one thing you've got to how you gave an answer before on PWTest and how the 0.06 relative to the 0.03 should up there. Can you expand on that further? I don't want to use this was a force, but certainly you can see how there's a lot of doubt in our minds when it's just apparent that there's some discrepancy.
Sure. Like, we understand that discrepancy. The only thing I can say is I do recall this being brought up at our original budget hearing. The tone of the conversation that took place between me and like the commissioner certainly wasn't one of forgery. It was, by the way, your rate was incorrect on your online budgeting application. The rate has changed to 0.03, so you guys are going to get some extra money. I cannot explain the difference.
Representative 7.
A7.
I guess first let me respond to the clapping accusation by Representative Gay.
Okay, from now on, we're not going to talk about anything but the issue at hand.
Well,
because we're not... No. No, we're not talking about clapping, we're talking about CU debate.
That's totally fine. CU debate, I voted for them in appropriations. I spoke up for them during the appropriations meeting because I believe that their story was extremely plausible at that point. However, Jackson, I mean, you say like you can't explain the discrepancy. I guess one question quickly to SIC, did any other group have this rate problem? Like their rate was 0.026 and hasn't yet changed to 0.038?
No other group had this problem.
No other group had this problem. So, I don't know, like, guys, I feel like it's pretty solid case that this seems to be an old budget that was printed out. Like, no offense to you guys, but I would happily switch my vote today because I feel like you guys, I don't know what happened, but maybe under extenuating circumstances, but this budget application seems to have been used in last time. I got one last question. Jackson, why didn't you get to Sherry Martin's signature on the budget?
There were scheduling conflicts between, when we picked up the budget, you know, she wasn't available. Oh, I did submit her a full copy of our budget. She did send me an email saying that she looked over it, happily in the words of the email, that we had requested 40% of the promotion.
Is this for?
I'm sorry. What is going on right now?
I have extremely vague recollections.
Okay.
Point of order.
Next speaker, Vice President Coons.
All right. This is really. I want to get this on the record. Just straight shooting. Sam Lucanar, is it your belief, based on all the information at hand, and just in a very short answer, that CU Debate has presented you with false information and that they have lied?
Absolutely.
CU Debate, I'm just asking you this question directly because I want you to have your chance to be on the record here today in case this goes further. Do you believe that it was possible?
I'm gonna interrupt Mark right now, and Vice President Boxer, please point out to everyone else what you just pointed out to me.
I'm so sorry to do this. Actually, I have to. Chris Basil actually pointed this out to me. I hate having to do this, but the budget to debate that I'm looking at from you guys that we're talking about with the no URL and all of that, if you look on the back. Where on the page where Nick Jones' name is written and the signature, if everyone could turn to that, please. Page 6, I'm sorry. If you'll see, it says priority 3, you did not choose anything for this priority, and then priority 4, 5, and 6 are listed. Now, if you look at, well, you don't even need to look at it right now, I'll walk you through it. On no budget in the last at least year, two semesters, I would say, have there been 4, 5, and 6 budgets. Those are more priorities. That type of budget is actually from when annual budgets were allowed, which, as you guys know, because we went through all of those problems last semester with groups who could only get semesterly budgets and were complaining because forever they did annual budgets. Annual budgets were abolished as late as spring 2006. So I do need to point that out, that this budget, there is, for whatever we want to do with the gas mileage, or I'm not reporting anything was put in there, but I certainly must say that this budget that we're looking at that was filled out is something to do. I don't know where it is, but this template is at least a year and a half old. Sorry. Yeah, no, I can clarify. I will clarify that as much as I possibly can. If you look at the back of the Puerto Rican budget, the Puerto Rican Students Association budget, if you look at the very last page, page 505, you basically got, there are three priorities that are clearly outlined and delineated. And then on the last page where the president's signature and stuff like that is, there are no other boxes for possible priorities 4, 5, and 6. And that's because no matter when you filled out your budget, if you filled it out in the fall of the last semester or at the beginning of the semester, there was no possible option for filling out an annual budget. What we used to do is have annual budgets, which would mean at the beginning of the semester in September, you could fill out 6 priorities and that would be it for the year for your SASD budget. But we got rid of that rule, and so no budget ever that the SASC has online or gives to groups ever has 6 priorities on it anymore, because you're just talking about one semester, 6 priorities. Does anyone have questions about that, Kate?
Yeah, on page 7, since 2006 to 2007, you have an explanation for why that might be the case, if that is
You know what? It might have been because this. I mean, really, this is just brought up now, but I can say that it might have been because if this was from the last academic year, that was how they had it.
What? All right. Especially based on this information,
I'm sorry. I'm not accusing. I just needed to point that out.
Right. Okay. Is your I assume your answer is exactly the same that I just asked. Steve DeBain, just because I'm gonna get you all on the record as well. Do you believe that it is possible that anyone in your group submitted this information, presented false information, or that they lied?
Hey, please speak into the microphone, because we have to record.
Okay, there were, I thought my colleagues would carry that. So, there were two people actively involved in the budget process, myself and them. Just so you guys know, I actively submitted two budgets over the course. I've been involved in four, but I've actively submitted two. That was fall of 2006 and spring of 2007. To levy the charge that I used a budget for like 2005 or like in spring of 2006. Is entirely impossible, given that I wouldn't even have access to that information. The only possibility, under this information, is that there was a redundancy and the online budget portion of the application still maintained Category 5 and Category 6 on the fall of 06 and the spring of 07 online budget portion. And, it's just redundancy. That's the only thing.
So you're saying that you do not believe from, the bottom of your being that it is possible that anybody lied or presented false information?
Represent the staff.
Okay, a couple more questions. Initially, I thought, that I was going to ask that we table this to give the group some time to prepare a better response to this, but it seems I'm pretty eager to have an hour some more time to speak as well, so we can do that today. But to Ari, is it technically possible at all for the 4, 5, and 6 categories, in the case of one group out of 350 who applied, to appear before the submission? Is there anything that you think would allow that?
Extremely unlikely. I'm not totally familiar with every little aspect of the web application, but combined with the old copy rate, which I know will change.
Right. And there, are there any other versions of the application accessible online to let you know?
No.
Okay. And I guess to debate, this is about accusing people of dishonesty or things like that. We're not here at the student assembly to judge their character. But one thing, what this looks like to me, rationally looking at this, from these two specific things about the copy price and the extra three priorities, is that the document we have here, which new information, including your signature and the information filled out in the various priorities for the semester, was filled out on an old budget sheet. Now, the thing is, from the way that it was, the first question is, you printed this from a file on your computer, is that true? Okay. Do you think that it may have been possible for you to have printed and submitted an older record on your computer of another application that you would have prepared before, and just absent-mindedly signed it to these two, signed it to this by these two?
To eliminate a lot of the legwork, the Cornell Debate Association, and I've been totally honest about this, from all the prior studies for the process, do use our old budgets as templates with which to, go over new information and that sort of thing. It cuts out a lot of the legwork. Now, that's part of the possibility. The other possibility is that there was just an internet problem, and when we clicked the link, we got access to an old budget book which we filled out. I'm not positive, but I suppose that it is.
Can I have 1 minute?
No, we have to, or actually, yes, I'm sorry. One more minute.
So, are you saying that, could it have been possible for you to have opened and printed an older semester? Okay, do you have an older record of budget before the semester?
I have fall 2006.
But not a previous year?
No.
Okay. I don't think there are any more facts we can speak out of this motion. Move the previous question.
Hold on. You guys said this is a printout of a screenshot, right? Is that correct?
We had both the sort of the Microsoft hand file, and we have the internet screen.
The hard copy, which I believe Luke distributed to you guys, is the printout of the screenshot. The other printout that we submitted in the appeals process is a printout from the HTML file.
Okay. What was the motion? Okay, is there a second? Is there any dissent?
Dissent.
Okay. If you are in favor of calling the previous question, please raise your hand high.
With
10 yeses and a fail. All right. Chairman Little.
I'd like to bring it back. It is a physical impossibility for them to submit everything online, which we've got them on, and for us to have somehow mistakenly given the wrong link, mistakenly come up with conflicting evidence as hard and as provable and invisible as the fact that we see today. We'd like you guys to consider that in your decision.
Vice President Slicker.
Thank you. It turns out there have been a lot of new points that have been brought up throughout this, and it looks like the major decision is going to rely on whether or not ethical conduct was taken during the filing of this. Now, the Student Assembly has a responsibility in the statement of ethical conduct that you two gentlemen signed. If you look under the part where it says stewardship, all students acting on behalf of student organizations applicable to the president of the student assembly shall refer this to the judicial administrator. This is a very serious case, because if we do rule that the FAFC did not err and that you had acted unethically, then we have an obligation to report you to the judicial administrator. Now, we're 23 individuals who were elected from students because we promised for free fitness centers and free, net print or whatever. We were not elected to rule on whether or not your conduct was ethical. And I think in a case that is as serious as this, where results could be very serious involving suspension, speaking to the judicial administrator, I would recommend that we refer this case to the ombudsman.
Is that how you say it?
Ombudsman of the university, so we can get a third party to look at this, a fourth party in this case now, to look at this and make a recommendation to the student assembly. Because if the ombudsman rules that there is unethical behavior, then I will feel much better about referring you to the judicial administrator than instead of the 40 of us just pulling this apart and saying that. So I think we owe you the right to go to a fourth party and examine this.
The question is not whether they acted unethically or not. The question is whether or not the SAC erred. We're deciding today, based on the evidence presented, whether or not they erred. It doesn't go beyond that. We're not deciding whether or not they forged the budget. That's for the SAC to follow up on.
No, it's for you to follow up.
We can make recommendations.
And myself to follow up on. It's for us to follow up on, but that's not what we're deciding here today.
Then
a motion to table this until the next meeting and a second. Is there any? There's a motion on the floor. Is there any dissent? He doesn't have to. You can make a motion to table at any time. Yes.
Yes.
Okay, there's been a motion to table until the next meeting. If you are in favor of this motion, please raise your hand. All right. What is it?
Groups are still applying to the
Hold on, one person at a time. What is it? If you are favor of the motion to table until the next meeting, please raise your hands. With four yeses, that motion fails. Moving on to the next speaker, Liaison Ehrlich. Parliamentarian Asgary. Oh, I didn't hear you. Okay, there's been a motion to call the question. Is there a second? Is there any dissent? Okay, please raise your hands very high if you are in favor of this motion. With 11 or 12 yeses, it fails. Okay. Vice President Boxer. I'm sorry. Parliamentary Nasgar.
Okay. Matt, I think while your point is absolutely valid in terms of we should be withholding like funding from other groups who could potentially be using it, I also partially agree with you in the sense of like the question of whether we're deciding like putting that aside, we also owe both sides here a fair hearing to get all the proper evidence information we can before making a ruling. We should just rule and sort of put aside the right that both sides should be given here, just potentially give funding to other groups. I mean, they can wait a week or two, in my opinion. I think the rights are more important. However, I noticed, well, I have a question. You said you were doing this from a computer lab, right? Where was this printed from? Okay. I can tell from the thing at the bottom that it is actually from a computer lab since I was a lab user. And in fact, I happen to be the person, the primary student in charge of those computer labs, and it was completely another. So, if there is a question of the authenticity of the code or whatever, because it is within approximately the past month, it is very possible to try and pull the document off the NetPrint server to look at that information if it was in fact saved on a lab user desktop and sent to the NetPrint server. We can do that all the time. So one, that's a possibility if it makes a difference to people in terms of waiting and getting potential more information. Also, the point that Sarah and Chris brought up about the budgets or the priorities for Biden today, I mean, is it possible to pull that information from last year to see what last year's budget looks like or what their exact budget looks like from last year at the FCR or whatever can shed light on that?
Everyone's budget last year had the 4, 5, 6 priorities on it.
Right, but I think that they're disputing the fact, so it would corroborate the side of what you guys are saying.
Well, as I understand it, all SAFC is saying is that the budget that they printed is not consistent with the budget they would have produced if they had submitted it online this semester.
Okay.
I just wanted to clarify a couple of things. I just want to say, as to this whole ethics issue, whatever, I mean, I was made aware of this a few days ago, and I really didn't feel like it was appropriate for that to be what we are voting on right now. It's not. We're voting on the issue. We are voting on appeals the same way that we voted on everyone else's appeal. What, just to further clarify this, the issue at hand is whether or not debate submitted their online budget. The FAC says, at the FAC and the Office of the Assembly say that they did not submit an online budget. The debate club says that they did submit an online budget. In terms of this whole priority four thing and in terms of the chalk price, whatever, how that relates to the copy, how that relates to the issue at hand here is because, the printout that that the debate gave us, they told us that they submitted online, it's very hard to understand how a budget from like 2 years ago, it's very possible that it could have been on your computer, but it is very hard to rationalize how that could have been submitted online as it is available nowhere online currently. what I also wanted to say, and this, I hate doing this, I hate bringing up past precedent, I don't really think that it applies in a lot of cases, but I did find this a little bit analogous, if you guys will remember, to last semester when we heard the, and I don't want everyone to berate me if you don't think that it's exactly the same thing, but I do think it is slightly similar to the appeal that we heard last year from men's soccer, which was when they said that they handed in a budget with all of their documentation and somehow mysteriously in the office it went missing. And the office and the SAC said, no, it's impossible. There were 400 groups that also submitted all of their stuff and nothing went missing. This is the situation where we had the SAC in the office saying there's no way that we could have not gotten this email. And the group is saying there was an administrative error somewhere and we're not sure how to explain it. The result of men's soccer was that we decided that the SAC and the office had not erred. Yes, men's soccer did not get their money. But I'm not bringing that up to say how you should vote, but I do want you to think back to how you felt then in terms of administrative stuff. And
okay, I thank everyone for the patience. I see people getting their coats on, but please do stay until we resolve this. If you absolutely have to leave, then let Alon know. I want to remind everyone that we just voted not to table it, which means that we want to vote on it today, according to you guys. We voted not to call the question, which means that you want to debate it more right now, which means that in order to resolve this, you guys want to talk about it some more. I want to clarify that. If somebody else makes that motion, keep both those things in mind. If you want to vote on it now, then let's do it. If you think you have enough information to say that the SASC did not err, then you can vote on it now. Representative Santana.
I just want to clarify on the basis for the group of the basis. Did you say you submitted it at your risk?
What?
Where was the budget submitted?
It was submitted from my
home. And is your machine, the internet access, being torn out?
From my home.
Okay. Because otherwise you'd be able to check online activities from the
Jeff has printed out a part of the group. I believe he was stolen, but I never had a problem.
My question was because if you use a Cornell server to submit a budget, Cornell can track that. And I guess if you have to use the Cornell server, they can.
Representative Butish. Okay. Representative Crockett.
You guys said that this was a screenshot, not an HTML page, and if it was a screenshot, the thing would say it was open from the files from the bottom. So I guess that's not
a
submitted
budget. Point of order, according to one of the
bottom. Okay, it was also made very clear that they filled out one budget. It's obvious right now that SAFC did not err. They did not submit a budget. I don't know why we're still here. Can I call the question?
Okay. Call the question. And the second, is there any dissent?
Dissent.
Raise your hands if you are in favor of that motion. Hi.
Seven.
13 yeses. How many people are here? Count. All right. Fourteen yeses, four noes. Okay. 14. By a count of 14 yeses to four noes, the resolution passes. The motion passes. All right. 30 seconds to CU debate. 30 seconds to SAFC. Concluding statement.
So we've been very surprised by such a thing we've had access. We came into this year believing, and you have my word on this, that we had submitted the correct application and had not made any of those agreements. The evidence appears pretty uncomfortable right now that what we had filled out was actually an application from past years, and I'm at a loss to explain this right now. So I'm very confused and just wish we had known about this.
That's it.
Super Assembly is voting on whether or not the SAFC is accepted here.
I'm going to tell you.
And just make sure that that's on the table, but clearly the SAFC is not discrimination or hair.
Are there any members of the community that wish to speak on this matter? Please raise your hand. Are you sure? Okay. Clerk, please call the roll.
Oh, I'm sorry.
The Appropriations Committee voted that the SAC did not err, so it's reversed right now. If you're voting yes, you're voting that the SAC did not err. If you're voting no, you're voting that the SAC did err. Yes?
Everyone understand that? Yes, uphold AFCOM's decision. No, do not uphold AFCOM's decision.
Kirk, please call the roll.
Yes.
Foster?
Same.
Yes.
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 Dina?
Pass.
Eric? Fernandez?
Yes.
Yates?
He left.
Greenberg?
Yes.
Hartman?
Yes.
Ms. Arden?
Yes.
Rosen?
Yes.
A. Salem?
Pass.
R. Salem?
Yes.
Santana?
Yes.
Bell?
Yes.
Leslin?
Abstain.
There are a couple passes. There are a couple passes. Who passed? Raise your hand if you passed. There were two people? Okay.
Yes.
Okay, by a vote of 13 yeses to 5 abstentions, the SAC did not err. I need you all to stay here for literally 3 more minutes. So the SAC did not err. Thank you for coming. We have volleyball, and then we're going to vote on Resolution 32, but I promise that will be quick. We need literally 3 more minutes. Yes.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you guys for coming in.
Do you guys go ahead and explain the volleyball situation? You'll notice that women's club volleyball is absent. SAC is going to explain why.
Sure. This was the simple case in this room. I'm missing allocation.
Vice President Boxer.
Okay, so obviously this is the SAC has already been a day aired. The AFCOM already voted unanimously to uphold that admission. So I would just can we just call for unanimous whatever we need?
Oh, you can't. If there is no dissent, I'm going to go right into voting. Okay, seeing none, clerk, please call the roll.
Yes is a uphold
AFCOM. Yes is yes and no is no. Everybody be quiet. Clerk, please call the roll.
Yes.
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 Sure. Okay. So the SAFC did air volleyball gets money. Next, we're going to vote on Resolution 22. If there is no dissent, I'm moving this to business of the day. It's going to take 1 minute. I promise. Seeing none, we're going to do Resolution. 32 now.
Do you like really want to do this?
Just go be a coach.
Are you just here? Okay.
Boxer would be next. Mark wants to be a coach then.
No, she's already leaving.
All
right,
go.
Mark, go sign. I'm going to become a co-signer of this resolution, so CJ won't be in the meeting.
You have 1 minute.
Oh my God. So this is just kind of this resolution says you can trust that the chair committee, which is going to be built over time for the transparency and accuracy, etc. Vice President Greenberg is supervised committee, called that committee to review the students of the charter.
The speaker's list is now being formed. Representative Hartman.
Motion to call the previous question.
There's been a motion for you. Is there a second? There's been a call for acclamation. Is there any dissent? Seeing none, the resolution passes unanimously. There's been a motion to adjourn. Is there a second? This meeting's adjourned.
This has been a production of Cornell University. On the web at cornell.edu.